Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Mee.
And I almost lost my voice this weekend. You know why? I'll take a guess.
Is your voice hiding?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't hiding. But it was running away. It was running away because of the, obviously, the Springboks. They were playing and I was screaming. And then I was watching the UFC as well. And then I lost my voice. And then Silverstone happened. And my voice got even more damaged. So you have to bear with me today.
Who were you shouting for in F1?
I was shouting for Hamilton.
He was like in the midfield.
He was in midfield, but I mean, he finished third.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. All right, I'll take my hat off to that.
From like eighth position.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
It's a good performance.
Yeah.
Why would you want to take that away from me? Like I've had nothing.
I think it's the inexperience of Piastri.
For sure. No, 100%.
Because I think those McLarens are faster than the Mercedes.
Yeah, I think they've done something there. Something
they've really got good. Some upgrades. And I think the McLarens, the Aston Martins have done some stuff that have taken them backwards, or they haven't done anything and everyone else has gone forward.
I think it's they've tried to do something new.
And it's stalled them.
Yeah. But obviously Red Bull still going crazy. They broke a few records nobody's talking about. And I think it's, you know, just because they're winning, I think we should still hype the fact that they... Norris defending Hamilton. That was cool.
Norris. Norris.
What did I say?
You said Norris.
That sounds like the same thing.
It's not. You said Norris. It's Norris.
And Lando Norris.
Double R. Two consonants after a vowel turns the O into an O. Norris.
Nando Norris.
It's a Norris. You're not Norris. It's like a walrus. Norris.
Well, Lando, he came B2 and I liked his defense against Hamilton. It was very impressive.
It's like Hamilton.
My first language is Zulu. Okay, let me just put it out there. I'm trying. But it was a good race. I think it was the best race of the season so far, in my opinion. That and Baku.
Okay.
They gave me the most thrills.
I enjoyed Silverstone because there just seemed to be a lot of passing and overtaking, a lot of challenging.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for the crash, and I must just say, he has to crash once this year, at least. At least once he's got a crash.
You're going to have to change his name if he doesn't.
Yeah, because otherwise the crash is history.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't think he is going to be honest. I think one, clean air, and two, he just seems...
Someone's going to crash into him on the start somewhere.
Yeah, and we thought Silverstone was going to be the place because the last 3 years we've had, you know, incidences there and it just didn't happen this time.
What's the next track?
Off the top of my head, I'm actually not too sure. Let's see. So we have the Hungarian GP next. So a lot slower. But you know, see what happens. I think. I think the season's heating up finally.
Yeah, it's heating up. I mean, I think McLaren's coming to the party. Aston Martin need to undo what they've done or do something. They're probably falling behind. I've just Googled the 10 most dangerous racetracks.
Okay.
Let's see what the... Sherbet. There we go. Problem on that website, obviously. That's not going to help me. Which track has the most crashes in F1? Monaco?
Oh, for sure.
38.
I guess that for... Anybody would have guessed that one.
Drivers crashed 38. Number of races with crashes 11. Korea, Singapore, Azerbaijan.
Yeah, I mean, Baku's always going to be there.
Mm.
Any street race, any street circuits, any circuit which is very narrow is going to have...
Yeah, it's going to have...
high incidences.
Well, yeah, for crashing has to crash once at least. Come on, keep up to the name.
Let's see what happens. But, you know, so far so interesting. I think it's...
What are we talking about today?
So, we're talking about how cars change the world. They did. And I think a lot of people don't actually realize just how impactful the advent of cars has been in changing not just transportation as a whole, but every single industry as we know it today. Mm. And it's not even... Sometimes it's not even direct. Sometimes it's an indirect result.
Well, I mean, one of the big changes... Let's talk about vehicles rather than cars. Because trucks fit into vehicles. So, I mean, you can have a truck for a car if you like, but
that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to double down on the fact that I think it's even cars.
Well, I want to put the accolade on trucks for a second. So if you think about before 1896 or even, you know, early 1900s, because, you know, trucks came along afterwards.
Yeah.
In order for you to be a manufacturer or even raw materials, you know, producer. Not raw, yeah. But you know, if you're taking steel and or molten steel, and you know, creating kind of steel things out of it for like as raw material. In order for you to get that from one place to another, you would have to use the railroad.
Yep, trains right? were the only way, really.
Yeah, trains were the only way. But now, it's not the train I want to point out. It's you had to almost build your factory at a train station.
Like a rail line, yes. Exactly. Yeah.
You had to build it next to a railway line. Trucks have caused those factories to be able to be built anywhere because you can truck the... I mean, in South Africa, the railway doesn't work so well. So, you know, a truck goes everywhere.
Yeah.
But you would have to actually physically build your factory in you were limited.
It's basically opened up what you can do, where you can do it, how you do it.
Yeah.
But you know, that's why I was trying to say I really take it even back to I think railway was absolutely revolutionary. Let's like
yeah, railway was. I mean 100%. I mean that's a long, long time ago.
But I don't think we'd have a scenario where we even have trucks and planes without the internal combustion engine in the car. Because I think that's where a lot of the transportation industry plays around with new tech. I mean, look at EVs. It started with cars, and we're starting to see them being in planes, and you know, and I think it's because of cars and how people utilize that technology that's kind of changed the game. And yeah, so I think I wanted to give a little bit of a halo and praise to cars today and kind of walk through some of the things that a lot of people don't really know.
Well, I mean, look at this. railways were introduced in England in the 17th century.
Yeah.
17th century.
17th like century? And then
1600 and something.
That's like 200 years of pure just rail.
Yeah.
Is the and only then, way. And everyone has to live on the rail. I mean, yeah, people have to get to work.
And then horse and cart to get, you know, the last mile, the last as mile. I put it.
Yeah.
to
the,
use.
The first Ubers.
With the horses first the Ubers 17th century. So then, you know, it takes 200 years.
About 200 years, yeah.
200 years before the automobile.
I think the first car, Carl Benz, 1880 or something. Was the very first car. I mean, that was not even
1876.
Yeah.
And then less than 100 and well, yeah, less than 100 years. No, until until the advent of the car. So, sorry, less than 200 years, 190 or something.
I think a lot less than that. I think if the first car was 1880 and then obviously the production line started, well, Henry Ford revolutionized exactly, well, accessibility to cars.
No, my point is like 200 years railway to car.
Oh, yes, right? Yes, 100%.
Then from car to the current EV, which is the next evolution.
Less 200 years.
It's less than 100 years.
Yeah.
Less than 200 years, 120 odd years.
Yeah.
So it gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Times are almost like the Moore's law principle, but not, you know, cars don't follow that principle.
100%. I mean, it's a lot more complicated, but I think planes, for instance, that was, you know, I was having an argument with one of our colleagues about how, like, I was telling him that cars are a lot more important than planes. And he's like, yeah, but the technology is not as, you know, and I was like, but if you go back a few years ago, you don't really use a plane on a daily basis, and people don't like live their lives around just planes. I think what cars has been able to do is they've changed how people interact with the world and each other and accessibility to things. I mean, we always talk about why the first car essentially gives people freedom. It offers you an opportunity to get a job wherever you want. It gives you an opportunity to change your lifestyle. And I think that's kind of the big difference that I have against, you know, people who think, you know, rockets are cool, planes are cool, but I think in terms of everything, cars have definitely made the biggest impact, including trucking and logistics.
Yeah, I mean, it's created freedom. It's created independence. It's created the ability to make the world smaller. You know, besides the internet, that's made the world smaller now. Because, you know, with the internet, you need to be able to deliver stuff.
Yeah.
And cars are critical to that chain, to that value chain. So the internet is in the reality of the internet and click to buy or e-commerce is made possible.
Yeah.
Because of vehicles.
Yeah, for sure. I think the only thing that's cooler than probably cars, in my opinion, and the internet, is telephones. It still blows my mind a little bit how that works. This ability that you can just communicate. But you know, I think we're in agreement here that it is one of the most, you know, influential moments in human history.
So what about cars dying?
I don't think cars will die until we get to a point where we can teleport, to be honest.
No, not our cars dying. I mean, what about the automobile industry is dying?
I don't think the automobile industry is dying per se. I think ownership of cars, consumer cars, is going to reach a close. I think how we interact with cars is going to be different in terms of, you know, you won't necessarily own the car and drive it yourself. But mobility is still going to be around.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, what segments of the industry are dying? And, you know, like for instance, most people are buying SUVs nowadays.
If I had to look back in the last few years, let's just say 10 years, looking at the roads, the car that one of the segments that I think has really decreased are like minivans.
It's in like your Foxy bus?
Yeah, like the Concorde and the Conquest, these little mini vans. They were a lot more popular, or wagons, in some parts of the world.
Uh-huh.
I've seen a lot less of them, I'm looking at some of the numbers, and you know, it's down. It's one of the segments where a lot of OEMs are not making them anymore, just because people just don't want to be in them. I think SUVs have completely replaced them. And I'm not too sad about it. I completely understand why it's happening. Never been a fan, but you know, that's definitely one.
I mean, what's the description of a minivan? It's like almost like a panel van?
Panel van will be imagine a panel van, but you know, with all the seats inside, like a small taxi.
Oh, like the...
Like a Venture.
Like a Venture, yes. I remember the Venture. Yeah, Venture, yes, you're right. A minivan, I get you. So really like a panel van with seats.
Panel van with seats.
You don't see those.
I think affordability has been the biggest thing. Excuse me. Cars have become a lot more cheaper in terms of one person can own a car. Whereas before, it kind of made sense to have a panel van where you can shove everybody inside and, you know, take grandma, mom, the kids, everyone in that one vehicle.
Aren't those called minibus taxis?
No. I mean, on a single household ownership.
Okay.
Yeah, on single household ownership. Most people now just have two cars instead of having one giant car that does everything.
Yeah.
Okay, another segment.
Or do you think it's just moved to the SUV and the double cab?
SUVs still have less seats than panel vans. I think people will still want a panel van and maybe a sedan or a sports car. Whereas before it was like, you know, I think...
Well, people are having less kids and that's why.
You think that's the case?
Well, I mean, if I look at my grandmother, she was one of nine brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't... Okay. I mean, in that scenario, you'll need something bigger.
Yes. Control. You know, so is it a case that like families don't need multiple seats? You know, five seats are enough.
Yeah, but I mean, I think people also just want more vehicles. I mean, we did the survey the other day, and we saw that a lot of people just prefer to have more than two cars in their household.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of... Maybe in South Africa it's a thing, but we're not trying to... You know, kind of force a vehicle to do everything. We still enjoy the idea of driving. We still enjoy the idea of privacy. We still want the car to not just be something that takes you from A to B. It's a lot more than that. You know, it's sometimes it's expression, sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that, but it's never everything at once.
Yeah.
And I think minivans was everything at once, and that's kind of why they're not as popular, in my opinion. Another segment that's dying is obviously V8s. I mean, this is a big one. You know, we're seeing M3s and CC3s not using V8s anymore, going straight to V6s or, you know, whatever kind of hybrid system the OEMs are cooking up. And that's a bit sad for me, but I completely understand. I mean, these they are better.
But isn't it full circle? Because we used to have the time where, I don't know if you remember, the 1500 or, you know, 1.5 liter turbo V10. In the, I think it was a V10 in the Formula One cars.
Mm.
And then the small turbocharged pocket rockets came about. You know, so now we're going from muscle cars again to something that's smaller but faster.
Mm. It makes sense. A lot of people complain about the sound and that it's not as cool.
Get off the sound bandwagon, honestly.
But the cars are better. Like it's hard to kind of fight the notion that they're worse. They're not worse. These cars are better.
They're faster.
They're faster. They're more efficient. They're a lot more fun. They drive better. They're lighter. So there's so many things that come with change. And muscle cars, unfortunately, is a thing that we're going to have to say goodbye to. Because what's replacing them, unfortunately, is slightly better. Would I take one over the other? Not necessarily. I think they still have their place. I think V8s are always going to be enthusiast cars. And that's okay, too. Another segment that's dying is midsize cars and minivans. Not minivans, and large sedans. Thoughts on sedans? Obviously, SUVs are now like the big rave. But do you think sedans are ever going to go anywhere?
No. I mean, if you look at my I-Pace as an example, that is kind of a SUV sedan. Okay. It's not an SUV, but it's not a sedan. Mm. I think the boot is the thing that's going.
Okay.
Boot not being – so the boot is no longer a single compartment. It's integrated to the car.
Okay.
And that's what's going.
So when you say that, you mean like almost like if you look at a hatchback versus a sedan versus – I mean, you have access to the boots. It's kind of part of the –
It's part of the cabin.
Yeah, it's part of the cabin.
Yeah. So there's no barrier between the back seat and the boot. You can put the seats down. It makes a bigger carry space, kind of a little bit more versatile. And I think that's what's happening. It's less about the size of the car and more about what's happening to the boot of a car.
I think you open up a very interesting conversation there. Maybe it's just cars are changing shape.
Well, maybe people prefer not having this compartment in the back.
Yeah. You don't have to, right? But I mean, if you look at cars 10 years ago.
You get stuck in there, you can't get out.
It was about that kind of where the mafia puts the people inside and they're locked in there. Like, that was kind of the shape that, you know, when you asked a child to draw a car, that was the shape they drew. Mm. I'd be interested to see what it is now. I bet you it's an SUV.
Well, no. I mean, of course it's an SUV, but I think the point is the integration of the boot into the cabin of the car.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. Let me just put that out there.
Why?
It's practical. It's safe.
Safe?
Yeah.
What makes it less safe?
Your luggage can fly out and knock you in the face.
No, but if the seats are up, you still got the barrier.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean.
Maybe I'm just fighting this too much. but, you know, I think large sedans are dying for sure. Sedans, on the other hand, I think they're going to be around for a while.
I'd like to say the boot's dying.
We need to put our stuff somewhere. So don't make it too small. I think people still want that space.
Mm.
Maybe that the smaller boot is dying. Maybe it's a size thing in terms of how much like stuff you can put inside. Could be one of those. And then the last one I want to kind of end off with is this idea that affordable cars are dying. I've done a lot of research on this, and I just wanted to get your take on this idea that cars are unaffordable and that affordable cars are a thing of the past. Do you have any thoughts on it, perhaps?
What about the Suzuki Prezza?
Mm.
You know, what is the price of that?
That's the cheapest car in South Africa, I believe. Mm. Yeah, I think that's 180,000.
192,000. Mm. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's a cheap car.
It is.
You know, it's like $10,000, $12,000.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of research into this because that's one of the things that we get asked about the most on Ask Auto Trader. And a lot of people are always saying that cars are getting more expensive. So I did a little bit of digging to see if that's the case. On average, globally, if you look at the price of cars and you account for inflation, cars are actually getting cheaper. What's changing is how cars are being packaged. So I'm saying base model cars inherently, like the cheapest car that you can get in terms of base, that is still getting cheaper. But how it's packaged down, I think that's how they get you. Is usually if you want to get a better, that's how they get you. If you want a better trim, usually they bundle these little packages together so it's like a really, really nice car. Mm. And base is not base anymore, let's be honest. I mean,
well, we spoke last week or the week before about
extras, you know, and
the production line being inefficient by adding on extras for a single customer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so maybe that's where the OEMs are going.
Yeah. Will that make it cheaper though? I'm not too sure. But in terms of,
we'll go watch that episode.
For sure. Yeah, that was one of the fun ones. But in terms of cars getting cheaper, I don't think cars are getting more expensive. I think.
Well, I think as you mentioned, at the rate of inflation, the rate of the rise of interest rates. And then the increases in prices of cars, particularly used cars. I mean, used cars increased in price over the last 2 or 3 years in an unprecedented way.
Mm.
But that's changing now again, and it goes in cycles.
And that was a result of, you know, other factors, right? So it wasn't like the cars were just getting expensive. It was just parts of...
It was part of demand. Demand was up.
Exactly.
You know, demand was up for used cars. So therefore, that's a recipe for the economic model in terms of price, demand, and supply.
Yeah, 100%. But, I mean, we have the industry report that's going to be coming out, I think, in a few weeks' time. So we're going to see some of those numbers come out nicely, and we'll unpack that in the next few shows to see exactly how things have changed in terms of, you know, if that's the case or not. I mean, this is just my theory, right?
Mm.
But we shall see. We shall see what happens. And yeah, that's pretty much all the segments which I think are dying. Ultimately, minivans, they dead. Let's be honest. Midsize cars.
You know, one thing I'm not seeing anymore either.
Yeah.
Is the half ton bucky.
Like the NP200.
Like the NP200. Used to have the Datsun, and then became the Nissan. The little.
I don't think they're necessary.
You are.
Because there's the single cab.
But that's long wheelbase.
Yeah, look. If you have a small business, I think that's why the MP200 is still one of the best selling cars in South Africa because of
what it is.
People love it, right?
But that's why I say, so
maybe I'm wrong.
There's an argument to say that we need more of them, but there isn't.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Nissan took it out of the market. The one before it.
I know exactly someone. Yeah,
used to be the Datsun. Can't remember his name now. but anyway, that was an awesome little car.
Yeah.
But the NP200 is the only one left.
Yeah.
Out of everybody, I mean, VW doesn't make a bucky anymore.
I mean, they make Amarok, but I mean,
no, I'm talking about
a
half ton bucky.
Yeah, they don't. Not anymore, no.
VW does. They used to. They used to have the same shape as the City Golf.
Yeah.
Just in a bucky form.
Yeah.
I've seen Jeep. Jeep Wrangler's got a bucky, which looks ugly.
I'm actually a fan. I'm a fan of it. Not the way it looks, but I mean, I understand it. It's a fun. If you're buying a Jeep, I don't think you're buying necessarily like... I think you're buying more than just a car.
If you're buying a Jeep, I think you're buying a passion. You're buying a lifestyle. Buying into a brand.
Yeah.
You know, sure. there's a certain thing about, it's like wearing a particular brand of watch.
Yeah.
One watch can tell the time just as the next, but what is the next one? As a matter of fact, they're all inaccurate.
Because, you know, your phone as well is always going to be the best watch in the world.
Oh, yeah, that's digital. but the analog watches are all inaccurate. So, yeah. You know, 100,000 Rand watch versus a 5,000 Rand watch is still going to do the same thing, tell the time.
Yeah.
So Jeep is the same.
100%. And that's pretty much all the time we have for today. But thank you so much for joining me, George. We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, go Lando Norris. Search Auto Trader.